May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as we're getting closer to the holidays, I have a couple of jokes about parties for you. When they get together in Alaska for an outdoor Christmas party, what do they sing? Furry's a jolly good fellow. Okay. Yeah. Why did the toy maker at the North Pole, at the office party there, look so glum? He had low elf esteem. Oh, all right, one more. And you heard about what happened to Saint Nick at that same office party, right? When they started singing carols, he got sentimental. How can we become the highest peak above the despairing mass of humanity, as Isaiah describes? How can we live according to the light of Christ instead of the darkened ways of this world, as St. Paul describes? How might we take our Lord's admonition seriously and ready ourselves for his coming at the end of this fading era of human history? Well, one thing is for sure, we can't do it alone. We need to gather as God's people and be about doing the kinds of things that our Lord wants us to do. This first week of Advent, we start a new cycle through the Christian year. Perhaps we know that this season is a season of penitence, for quieting our souls to prepare for Christ's promise coming, while also remembering the first time when the Old Testament prophets looked forward to the Messiah's arrival. Perhaps we know also that this is a good time for us to recommit to truly spiritual living in the midst of that waiting. But the psalmist reminds us that we can't wait by ourselves. Following Jesus has never been a solo act. As much as we ought to take ownership of the faith into which we were baptized personally, we just as much need to remember that individual religious practice or spiritual seeking is impoverished, even counterproductive, if we do it outside the context of the redeemed community, the church. So the picture that Psalm 122 paints for us this morning is one of God's chosen people gathered before his divine presence. No stragglers, no outcasts, no lonesome cowboy individualists who try to rescue themselves by their own bootstraps or by sheer grit or by the luck of the draw. We're in this thing together. And the less together we are as we try to follow Jesus, the less together will be internally, individually. And so we gather together. But before we get bogged down in some idea of dutiful church attendance, I want you to note how the psalmist paints a joyful picture. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The temple background that inspired this psalm, describing the ascent of the tribes of Israel from their scattered locations up the holy mountain to Jerusalem for one of their seasonal festivals, is a context of celebration. This psalm is a song of ascent, one of the Christmas carols, if you will, of the ancient Hebrews that they sang on their pilgrimage to go up to the temple for worship. And once they got there, they would offer a sacrifice. This wasn't to be some sad time. Sacrifice, of course, could mark a repentant desire to turn from sin. But more importantly, sacrifices were feasts. You could eat with your family and friends and the priests at the temple. It was dinner time at God's house, and the Almighty has extended his divinely royal generosity in inviting his people a place at his table. The gathering of God's people is to be a joyous occasion, even in seasons of penitence, because we get the chance to rejoice and celebrate with the one who made us, who blessed us, who rescued us, and who nourishes us for our life's journey. So we gather and we're joyful. But we also do our part to set things right. The onus is upon God to carry out justice as upon the thrones of David, as the psalm mentions. But the onus is upon us to offer prayer for one another. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the shalom of God's people, the covenant peace and prosperity that the Lord desires for the whole person, body and soul. And this is a kind of blessing. Clergy aren't the only ones who do the blessing. All of God's people extend blessings to one another as we seek each other's well-being. And it starts with prayer and extends into action when we have the means to do so. Remember the warning against merely wishing someone who's less fortunate to be warm and well-fed when it's in our power to do something practical to change their circumstance? Well, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, going to those who suffer, providing what we have to alleviate their suffering, and then marveling just how Christ takes our little bit of loaves and fishes that we're able to scrape together and multiply them more than what we need. So we pray for each other's experience of God's reign and peace and provision, and we act on those prayers as we have means to do so, looking for God to complete what we lack in terms of justice and mercy. Pray for blessing, be a blessing. Psalm 122 inspires our heart to enter Advent with a vibrant commitment to God and to one another. We're excited to meet with fellow believers for worship around word and table. And we're full of joy that God has invited us into his presence to feed us with spiritual food. And we're committed to seeing the good of all God's people come to pass, both in our prayers and our actions. Do you sense that you've been less than inspired than the psalmist is in your desire to gather with God's people? Then start by just showing up each week and note how the Spirit can transform duty or drudgery into ardent desire to meet with the Lord and us, his family. Do you feel less than joyful while at church? Well, try something new. I mentioned this on Thanksgiving Eve. We have these out in the narthex. Commit to the Advent Dinner with Jesus devotional. Eating and praying with God and family and friends, and see how spending time with Jesus and your loved ones around your dinner table for the next few weeks can build a greater sense of anticipation as you encounter God and his people at his table each week. Do you find that you've been more focused on your own needs, especially after Black Friday, than the needs of others? Well, this Advent, commit to praying for a different person in the parish each and every day. And even prayerfully consider how much the Spirit wants you to give as we put together our Salvation Army tree, where all the proceeds are going to go to help bring heat to a family in need this winter. Talk to Mandy about that. When we commit to gather, to be joyful in our gathering, and dedicated in seeking Christ's blessings for one another each time we meet, something amazing will happen. We'll be ready for our coming King, not just at Christmas, but when he returns with power and great glory. Let us pray. Gracious God, you inspired the psalmist to rejoice over the gathering of your people and filled him with goodwill for all your beloved. Inspire us as well by your life-giving Spirit, that we might be dedicated to meeting for worship, ecstatic that we might spend time with you and your people, and refocused in our attempts to seek each other's well-being. All this we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.